Hi, I'm Becky Burrows, and you are listening to Leadership Becomes Her, where I provide simple, strategic solutions for Christian women who lead. Now, in last week's episode, I shared the secret for taking your hopes and dreams and making them a reality. It's no secret, really. All you have to do is roll up your sleeves and go to work. I had a hope and dream of becoming a published author, a dream I had had for over 60 years. And it wasn't until I decided to collaboratively write a book with 13 other women that the dream became a reality. That book, Elevate Your Voice, became a number one Amazon bestseller and the beginning of a trilogy, books by women, for women, books designed to inspire other women to live the life of their dreams. And all of the writers of the three books agreed to forego their royalties and donated them to Kiva, a nonprofit that provides microloans for women all over the world starting businesses. To date, these three books have raised over $10,000 to fund loans for 133 women, something we are very proud of. The other women who co-wrote the book had the same goal that I did, that of becoming a published author, and they were thrilled to have finally achieved that goal. But for me, all the collaborative book did was light a fire in my belly that I knew would not be quenched until I had written my own book. The month after Elevate Your Voice was published, I hired Lynette Pottle, our publisher and a publishing coach, to work with me in the writing and self-publishing of my own book, and I'm going to share how I went about it. In today's episode, part two of Becoming an Author is entitled, It Takes a Village to Write a Book, and boy does it. Let's dive in to today's episode. Hey friend, are you a people-pleasing, conflict-avoiding leader? Is your secret relationship with fear affecting your leadership decisions? Do you want to learn how to build credibility and confidence or to navigate difficult conversations? Do you long to manage your time without sacrificing your family or self-care? Welcome to Leadership Becomes Her. I'm Becky Burrows, your host and a minister and life and leadership coach with over 50 years experience in leadership. I firmly believe God has given you everything you need to lead well. You have the toolbox. You just need to learn how to use the tools. So get comfy or start a mindless task. You know how to pause or rewind if you need to. Let's get started. So the collaborative book that I co-wrote with 13 other women was published in April of 22, and I immediately started talking with Lynette Pottle about working with her to write and publish my own book. Now, I'm not suggesting that you must have a coach to do this important work, but with a full-time job as a minister and a side gig as a coach for Christian women, time is one of my most precious commodities, and I didn't feel that I had the time or wanted to take the time to try to figure it out on my own, although that does work for some. For me, hiring a book publishing coach and mentor like Lynette Pottle made sense, so I committed to 1 year of working with her so that I could not only have the accountability for the book writing portion, but the mentoring through the publishing and promoting process. We met in May of 22 for a two-day VIP intensive. She asked me to come to the conversation with some ideas that I might want my book to be about, since I wasn't sure. So I came with five ideas. We talked through the pros and the cons of each one, and as it turned out, what I chose to write about is what was initially dead last on my list. Because the other topics were things I knew a lot about, topics I've coached on and created courses about, and the topic that was dead last on my list was one I had lived. It centered on my experience having an identity crisis when every title, every role, and every responsibility that I wore like a mantle had been stripped away, and I was left looking at a stranger in the mirror. And although in May of 22 I was several years past my identity crisis, and although I had worked hard to grieve everything that needed grieving and figuring out how to bounce back stronger than ever, I hadn't given much thought to how I went about it. During those years, my friends would comment on how resilient I was, or they asked what my secret was to bouncing back after loss, and I really didn't know. So when I decided that this was what I needed to write about, it took a lot of thought, including learning how to organize those thoughts to put them on paper. I had to reflect on pivotal moments that were helpful in the healing process. I needed to remember stories about various times in my life. So for me, it was a while before I actually started writing the book. And during the 2 days with Lynette, I also had a lot of decisions to make. What would be the working title of my book? Knowing that I might change my mind later. How many chapters would it have? Which I ended up having a different number. What would each chapter be about? Which I ended up changing. How many pages? What would the size of the book be? When do I want it to be published? And once I decided on that date, we reverse engineered when I would have my first draft ready. I remember this being May, and Lynette suggesting that I have my first rough draft ready by the end of June. And everything within me screamed, not possible. So we moved it to the end of July. And that would give me 12 weeks to churn out 12 chapters. I didn't know if this was doable, but I was willing to try, especially when she told me that it was my deadline and I'm free to move it if need be. Later on, other decisions would need to be made, such as the color of paper, white or off-white. What fonts to use? Would there be a separate title page? What about pull quotes? I decided to add questions at the end. And after all the decisions were made, Lynette wanted to move to the book outline. Now, in school, I was terrible at making outlines. Remember when you had to turn in the whole packet together, your note cards, your outline, your rough draft, and your final copy? Well, in full disclosure, it was not uncommon for me to turn in a paper with an outline that I wrote after the paper just so I would get credit for it. So when Lynette wanted me to start with an outline, I froze. But she whipped out all of these Post-its in every color imaginable, and I assigned a different color to each chapter, and I placed first the working chapter titles on the wall, and under each chapter title, I listed topics that might go under each title, each on a separate Post-it. I had so much fun playing with those colorful Post-its that I took them home and transferred them to a whiteboard, and I created more for each chapter, and on each one was a story I was going to share that went along with each chapter. And during the time we were together, we did other prep work, and when it was over, I went home armed with an idea, a working title, chapter headings, and a rough outline. And now it was time to write. But not being a disciplined writer, I had no idea how to start. Within a week, I got the flu, which delayed writing even further. In addition to my experience recovering from loss, I wanted my book to include the stories of other women. So I set up Zoom interviews with women who were willing to share their stories with me. I met with close to 20 women who had experienced various major life transitions, such as death, divorce, leaving an abusive spouse, having special needs children, infertility, the IVF experience, poverty, bankruptcy, the loss of parents as children, cancer, and some of the women I interviewed had been through several of these things. So recovering from the flu and not knowing how to start my book, I spent the month of May having and transcribing these interviews and creating a story bank. Now, a story bank is a collection of stories from my life that may find their place in this book. Each story was written on a different document and labeled so that I knew what the story in the document was and placed it in a Google file that I called Story Bank. Writing these stories down while knowing that some of them would not make this book was invaluable. I have gone back to the story bank file many times over while looking for stories that I want to use as a professional speaker or in my podcast, and some of them are reserved for future books. So the first 4 weeks of my 12-week book writing timeline was spent interviewing women for what would end up being the last chapter in my book, as well as creating my story bank. And when I decided to start writing, it was important to set aside a time of day that would be conducive to writing. For me, that is morning. Morning is my very favorite time of day. I do everything better in the morning. I work better. I clean better. I'm more creative in the morning. I more consistently work out in the morning. My biggest problem with morning is that I don't have enough of it. And as I said before, I have a full-time job and a side gig, so I needed to find a time when I could get some writing in that did not interfere with my work. So I devoted my days off, Friday and Saturday mornings, to writing during June and July. Then each week, when I woke up, I would read what I wrote and look for spelling, grammar, and punctuation errors, or something that I needed to polish. Now, the experts will tell you not to edit your own work. Save that for professional editors. Their job is to take your work and make it even better. And I agree with that in general, especially if editing your own work stifles the creative juices. But I happen to be one that enjoys editing. I have done it for others for years, not as a paid professional, but as someone who enjoys it and is pretty good at it. So I decided that on weekday mornings, I would read something I wrote to make sure I like the way it reads and to notice anything that needs changing. And that saved the weekends for creative writing. Having decided on the time of day, I needed to decide on a place to write. Now, in my home, I have an office area that I do all my work, and it's very comfortable. But I thought, you know, a lot of people are able to work like in coffee shops or sandwich shops, so I think I'll try that. Maybe I'll be more creative. So one day, I decided to set up my creative writing station in Panera, which is a sandwich shop here in Texas. So I go to Panera, I get me a cup of soup, I've got my iced tea, it's summertime, and I am sitting at a table, I've got my laptop out, I am ready to go to work. And the first thing I notice is that the air conditioning vent is right over my head. It is blowing frigid cold air, which is the way we do it here in Texas, on the top of my head. And I'm very cold natured, so I'm immediately too cold, which makes me uncomfortable, which makes it hard to write. And so I'm thinking about that, wondering if I could move to another table, when I noticed that the man across from me is talking on his cell phone very loudly with great animation. And I'm just a smidge distracted by what he's saying. And as I'm focusing on this air above me and this man beside me, I hear the two women behind me, at the table behind me, and they are having a wonderful conversation with lots of laughing and loud talking. And then I heard it on the loudspeaker, which, by the way, also happened to be right over my head, was the very distinctive voice of Elton John singing a song from my childhood, my teenage years, Benny and the Jets. Now, I thought about breaking into this song for you and just so you could experience what it was like. And then I realized this is one of those songs where I never did really understand what he was saying, except when he got to the chorus and said, Benny and the Jets, you know, and it has a very distinctive beat. But yeah, I can't sing it for you because I don't have a clue what he was saying beyond that. But as I'm listening to him and this air is blowing on my head and these people are distracting me, I find that I'm just sitting here just rocking to the beat. Rocking to the beat. I've now been sitting here 20 minutes. I have not written one word. So clearly, public places don't work for me. They do work for others, not for me. Because after 20 minutes of complete time wasting, I packed it all up, went back home, sat down to my desk where the words began to flow. So, you know, find out what works for you. So I had gotten into this pattern of writing on the weekends, and here it was now the middle of June. I am 6 weeks into my 12-week writing plan, having gotten over the flu, and now I have COVID for the first time, which once again delayed my writing. So I reached out to Lynette and I said, okay, I'm going to change it. I now want to move my rough draft to the end of August. I need more time because I really felt like with all of my commitments, a chapter a week was doable, more or less doable. And so that's what I did. I moved my rough draft date till the end of August. And that worked for me. By the end of August, I had my first rough draft complete. Now, this would be a good time for you to go to Amazon and purchase my book. It's available in paperback or on Audible. It's called Come Back Home to You, Navigate Life's Transitions and Embrace Next Chapter Living. And in it, I weave personal stories with coaching principles as I share how God walked me through my identity crisis. I also describe in detail how I learned to navigate major life transitions so that I could thrive in the next chapter of life. So, if you've already read my book, hey, consider going to Amazon and leaving a review. This helps Amazon's algorithm decide whether or not to recommend my book when someone types in the type of book they're looking for. So next week, I'm going to share with you the people who took my book and made it better. Because you know what? It really does take a village to write a book. Hey, let's do this again next week. It is my prayer that this podcast inspired you, blessed you, or made you think. If so, please share it with a friend, subscribe, and please leave a review. Hey, I want to connect with you. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Send me a DM or email me at hello@beckyburrows.com. If you are a Christian woman who leads and you are interested in one of my leadership boot camps for women in ministry, this is a 4-week workshop, or becoming part of a Kairos cohort, year-long group coaching, send me a DM or an email for more information. We'll talk soon.